Imagine missing like 2 weeks of work,
Yeah.
right? And when you finally come back, you find out you haven't just been fired, but legally you've actually fired yourself.
Yeah, it's a harsh reality.
It really is. Welcome to today's deep dive, customized just for you. Our mission today is to, well, decode the legal DNA of South Africa's public education system.
Right, and we are using its foundational blueprint for this, which is the Employment of Educators Act of 1998.
Okay, let's unpack this. Think about what it actually takes to manage a massive nationwide workforce of teachers.
You definitely can't just rely on a few, loose guidelines.
Exactly. You need a huge, incredibly complex rule book just to keep the whole machine running.
Because when you are dealing with hundreds of thousands of educators, spread across vastly different provinces, the rules of engagement really have to be meticulously defined.
Right. A local principal doesn't just hire someone on a whim.
No, not at all.
So to understand those rules, we first have to figure out who actually makes them. Like, naturally, you'd assume the school is the boss.
You'd think so, yeah.
But looking at the act, there is this wild split chain of command. It's a lot like a corporate matrix structure.
Oh, that is a great way to put it.
Right. Like, imagine if one manager writes your paycheck, another dictates your actual daily role, and then a third handles your department's headcount.
Yeah, that is exactly how this system operates in practice. For salaries and working conditions, your employer is actually the Minister of Education.
Wait, the minister?
Yes, but for hiring, it's different. At the national level, it's the Director General, and at the provincial level, it's the head of department.
Man, that sounds like a recipe for a massive bureaucratic headache. I mean, who do you even report to?
What's fascinating here is how this specific structure actually balances power. By making the minister the employer for salaries, the state centralizes its financial power.
Everyone gets paid from the same pot.
Exactly. It ensures that an educator in a rural, under-resourced province is on the exact same pay scale as one in a wealthy city.
Okay, so the money is controlled from the very top to keep things standardized and fair. But then they let the head of department handle the actual job placements.
Right, they decentralize the operational power. The provinces get to decide where those teachers are actually needed on the ground.
So getting hired and figuring out who pays you is like this massive bureaucratic maze.
It really is.
But getting fired, that actually happens on autopilot, which is wild. Let's look at the rules for absenteeism.
Oh, yeah, Section 14.
Right. The law explicitly states that if an educator is absent from work for more than 14 consecutive days without permission, they are legally considered to have abandoned their job. Wait, exactly 14 days and you're automatically out.
That's the law.
That feels, I don't know, incredibly rigid for a profession that is built on human empathy.
It does sound harsh. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, we are talking about a massive taxpayer-funded system.
Right, with a lot of moving parts.
Exactly. And when you have a decentralized operational structure, meaning local provinces manage the actual bodies in the classrooms, well, oversight can get very muddy.
Because the local bureaucracy might be too overwhelmed to catch someone who just, stops showing up to teach.
Precisely. So a rigid boundary, like the 14-day rule, ensures absolute accountability. It's a mechanism specifically designed to prevent ghost teachers.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, these are individuals who simply abandon their posts, but manage to stay on the provincial payroll for months just because the paperwork hasn't caught up with reality.
Wow, so they're getting paid for doing nothing.
Exactly. So the law simply bypasses the bureaucracy. Day 15 hits, and the system automatically severs the employment.
Okay, so what does this all mean? The state holds the purse strings, and they clearly hold the firing power.
They do.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The state doesn't actually have the final say on who gets to be a teacher.
No, they don't.
That power belongs to the South African Council for Educators, or SAYES.
Yeah, they are the ultimate professional bouncer. No person can be hired as an educator unless they are registered with SAYE.
Wait, really? Not even by the minister.
Not even the Minister of Education can hire you if SAYE says no.
I get that they register teachers and, like, establish a strict code of professional ethics, but how do they actually enforce this across hundreds of thousands of teachers? Making rules is easy, but policing them is hard.
Well, they operate essentially like a parallel justice system. SAYE conducts its own independent investigations and disciplinary hearings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if an educator breaches professional ethics, SAYE steps in, and this is entirely separate from the state government or the school.
And if they find you guilty, They have the power to strike your name from the register.
Exactly. And the moment that happens, the law dictates that you are legally deemed to have resigned. Your career is effectively over.
Man, that's heavy.
It is. It doesn't matter what your head of department or even the minister might want. Say E guards the profession's integrity by holding the keys to the license itself.
It's just incredible to see how all these layers interlock. So for you listening, the next time you hear a news story about public education policy or, you know, teacher strikes or school funding, remember these invisible gears of power turning behind the chalkboard.
It's never just the simple boss and employee relationship, that is for sure.
Never.
Which, honestly, this raises an important question to leave you with.
I love a good question.
If an educator's career is beholden to the minister who sets their pay, the head of department who assigns their post, and the CCO that holds their license, who are they actually working for?
Oh, wow.
Right? Is it the state, the profession, or the students?